Let us pray. Lord, you've called us here this morning. We may think that we made the decision, but in your own ways, Lord, somehow in the midst of it, you're the one that called us here. So, Lord, help us to not be afraid to seek, ask, and knock. Help us to realize that on the other side of that door, on the other side of that question, on the other side of that teaching, is a God who just wants us to be in relationship with him. Help us to realize more clearly than ever before that you love us. You love us right where we are. So, Father, help us to come to you more clearly today than ever before. Help us to go deep with inside ourselves to connect with you. And help us to grow in our intimacy with you, the creator of us. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. What was your first conscious memory of hospitality? Of hospitality. Somebody being hospitable to you. Somebody having hospitality for you. What was the first conscious memory you had? Was it something that went on in your own house? Or was it something that was done, in a sense, for you or to you, whatever way you want to term it? You know, I'll be upfront with you. I can remember real clearly that I didn't really understand what hospitality was till I was probably about 8 years old, although it probably happened all around me. But when I was 8 years old, there was a family that lived two houses down from me. They were on the other side of Bender Avenue, but they still lived on Francis Street, which I lived on, in the great metropolis of Island, New Jersey. And their name was the LaRoses. The LaRoses had brand new Cadillacs every year. And with the name LaRose and the Cadillacs, I tell you the truth, I remember my dad looking at me, and I wonder what he's doing for business. But the LaRoses, when I was about 8 years old or so, built a built-in swimming pool. Now, you got to understand, Island, New Jersey was not what you'd call middle class and upper middle class. It was lower middle class. And the LaRoses probably were the most affluent people on the street. And they had this built-in pool. I mean, it was great. I mean, it was a concrete block wall all around it. It was actually in a pool. It wasn't one of those plastic things that stand up in the backyard that was round. This thing was rectangular, and it was wonderful. I'll never forget watching the contractors build the thing and thinking, man, I wish I had that in my house. After it was built, though, lo and behold, Mrs. LaRose invited the kids of the neighborhood to come once a week during the summers to swim in that pool. And I'll never forget going over there to swim in the pool because it was such a big deal. I mean, it was 8 foot deep. You could swim to the bottom if you really knew how to swim. And we'd go in there and we'd throw pennies down and you'd have to go down there. The interesting thing was, though, that I never really remember meeting Mr. LaRose or Mrs. LaRose. I know they had three daughters that later on in life, I thought, boy, they are really hot, okay? But I never remember ever meeting the family. They simply opened their door, we walked through their garage, we went back, got into the pool, and we swam. Our parents were there, my friends, the Altras and the Lannings and the Brookses, and we all got out there and we all could swim. I guess we had a time frame, and every once in a while, we'd see Mrs. LaRose looking out the window, and she'd wave to us. She never brought us drinks. There was never towels handed out. But I thought, what a wonderful gift that they had this pool, and they allowed us to swim in it, which was a major deal. And I remembered that sense of hospitality that they would allow us into their yard because I'd never been in their house. And there was never any sense of, well, you owe me or anything like that. It was just simply an openness. You know, when I think about that now, I think, is that all hospitality is? Just simply sort of you know, inviting people in and not really participating. Or is hospitality more? Hospitality is a big thing in the scriptures, just so you know that. It is one of the primary things that especially the Old Testament teaches. Hospitality was said by law in Israel that you have to welcome the foreigner and the stranger. You have to welcome the foreigner and the stranger. You welcome them in. You take care of them. If they come by, you do it. I mean, look at the teachings of Jesus. Half his analogies that he uses are about having some sort of hospitality involved. I mean, the story we had not long ago, the story of the Good Samaritan. That's about hospitality, taking care of things. The story about where Jesus looks out and says, you know, that there's a man that has his whole family, they're locked in their one-room house, and everything's locked up tight, but then at midnight, the next-door neighbor comes over and needs a loaf of bread, basically, because some visitors have arranged and come out from, you know, a different place, and they don't have enough to feed them, and so the neighbor goes to the other neighbor to get some bread, and the neighbor from inside the house that's all locked up said, I'm not getting up now. You know, my whole family's solid down here. I'm not getting up. I'm not going to let him give you the bread. And then Jesus says, yes, but for the persistence of that other neighbor, the man will open up his house and give the loaf of bread. That's all hospitality. Hospitality of one neighbor to another, and then hospitality of that neighbor to the person who's visiting. The Greek word for hospitality actually means guest friendship. Guest friendship. It's all about generosity and courtesy. And it's with that understanding of hospitality that I want to enter into the gospel that we have today. We're told today in the gospel that Jesus and his disciples are traveling. They go from village to village. And they come to a village, the village where actually Martha and Mary live. And they come into the village, and it says that Martha invites Jesus and his disciples. That's 12 other people. We're talking 13 people here, okay? How many dinner parties have you had lately that you invited 13 people to? And they are invited into Martha's house. It says that as Martha, and we assume this, is preparing for everything to be done, she's distracted by her many tasks, it says, that Mary sits at the feet of Jesus and listens to him. Well, Martha's plan for hospitality in her household, Mary's kind of messing this plan up, right? I mean, Mary's not doing what Martha expected. Martha expected, well, I'm going to invite Jesus and his disciples, and my sister's going to help me out. But Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus. And so Martha's irritated. And she goes to Jesus, and she says to Jesus, Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that my sister isn't helping me with the work? Tell her to help me. Tell her to help me. Jesus' response is interesting. He says to Martha, he says, Martha, you're distracted by many things and worried about even more. You know what? But Mary's chosen the better part, and that's not going to be taken away from her. Now, the better part is not kind of like when you buy a pizza and, guys, you all do this, so don't tell me you don't. The pizza comes into the house, you look at the pizza, you say, oh, I'm going to serve everybody else, but you look for the piece of pizza that has the most pepperoni on it, and you take that for yourself. That's not the better part of the better portion. And if you tell me, guys, some of you, and I know the ones that do, okay, that you don't do that, I'll tell you you're a liar, okay? Because you know you go in and do it. That's not the better part. The better part that they're saying right here is that Mary has chosen, in her sense of hospitality, to embrace the visitors. To not just serve the visitors, but to embrace the visitors. You know, so many of us think that hospitality is simply, in a sense, serving a meal. But it's not about serving a meal. It's about sharing a meal. Because sharing a meal is a lot more than serving a meal. You go to a restaurant to get a meal served to you, but when you go to home, you share a meal. You go and you sit down, and maybe the food's presented to you, but then you have conversation, you interact. There's a sense of intimacy that grows within it. It's not about performing, it's about responding, it's about coming together. I wonder how many of us really get that. I wonder how many of us really understand that when we invite people in, the reason why we invite them in is because we want to be with them, not just take care of them. You know, I'll be upfront with you. I think a lot of us get deceived. I know I have in my life. Probably the place where I got most deceived in my life was years ago. Years ago, you know, when my mom was in basically in assisted living, and then she went on to Ocean View to be in full care. And I'd go and visit my mom every day. By God, it was a duty to go see her. I needed to do that. I needed to show her that I loved her. She had done things for me. I needed to do things for her. But every time I went in there, to tell you the truth, I was about trying to get her to do things. I was about trying to get things taken care of for her. And the truth of the matter is that I treated her more like a project than a person. I wonder how many times we do that. What do you think the other person really wants? You think they want you poking and meddling with them? Or do you think they want at least part of the time to where you sit down and you just be with them? Even if you don't have any conversation, even if you don't say a word, where finally you come together. I think about it, us who are getting up older. None of you are as old as I am, but you know, as you get older, what do you want when your kids come over? Do you want your kids to come over and simply tell you, this is what we're going to do for you, and this is what we're going to do, you know, you need to do for me? Or do you want them to simply have a conversation with you? Tell me about your life. I want to know about your life. Tell me what's going on. You see, in the sense of hospitality, it's not just about service, and it's not just about doing. It's about being, about connecting. Because I believe, and this is where I'll get in trouble if you tell the bishop it's okay, I don't care, okay? I believe hospitality is foreplay for trusting love. In a sense, it sets an ambiance where all of a sudden you create an environment where you can actually begin to learn trust and learn love. And love and trust by being together. Which is more important? That a person serves you your food and you receive the food? Or a person shares something with you that is deep and dear to their heart and you receive it in the right way? You see, I think the scripture tells us one thing. Because most people, when they hear the scripture, they kind of get, I mean, how many of you ever read the scripture and you get kind of irritated? Well, Martha's not a bad person here. You know, Martha's, you know, she's a doer. She does, I know, I'm a type A. I can get this done. I could be just like her. That's all true. But it goes beyond that. And if you look at the scripture, it's kind of interesting. Because what happens? Martha invites him in. Hospitality, all good stuff. Mary doesn't cooperate with her plan of what that hospitality means. Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Then what does Martha do? Martha goes in and looks at Jesus and says, don't you care that my sister is sitting at your feet and not working with me? You know, tell her this. What is Martha doing right there? She's basically trying to shame God. She's laying a guilt trip on Jesus. You know, don't you care? And then what does it happen? She lays the guilt trip and the shame on Mary. Aren't you good enough to really work here? You know, God, I wish I could say I never did that. But I bet I have. Because you know what? Sometimes it seems like the program's more important than the people. And yet that's where it's wrong. You don't serve a meal, you share a meal. When you care about people, is it just to get it through so you can put a little check on your box that says, okay, I've done that? Yeah, I've served people, but by God, you know what? We served so many people. Well, you know, if you never get to know them, then what are you doing? I mean, how would you like it if I never got to know any of you guys? If I never called you on the side? If all you saw me on Sunday morning and I give you the little bread and the little wine and I just say, here it is, but don't talk to me the rest of the week? Can you feel real close to me that way? Any of you going to tell me your secrets and have me tell you my secrets? Any of us going to have an intimacy? Is there going to be a connection between the two of us? Or is there simply going to be a perfunctory way of saying, yes, we went to church today, that's all well and good. There is no transformation taking place there. And so to me, the way to look at the scripture is different. It comes from the perspective of what hospitality is. It's a foreplay for the real thing called love and trust. Do you ever notice how God loves you? God never manipulates you. God never lays shame on you, and he never lays guilt on you. God loves you in spaciousness and truth. Truth isn't the same as honesty. Honesty is where this is the facts and this is what it is. Truth has honesty in it, but truth says, this is a loving way I can tell you what the facts are, but I want you to know that the bigger thing, the greater thing, isn't just the facts, it's also the love that I have and the reason why I'm telling you this. It doesn't mean that you're nice every minute. It doesn't mean that you sometimes aren't tough with the words that you have to say. But it means that at every turn, nobody misses the point that I'm going to be there for you because I love you and I'm never giving up on you. You see, that's the love that God the Father, through Jesus Christ, has for you and me. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. It confirms that I love you. I love you. And I'm going to give you all the space that you need. And hopefully you'll make the right choice. And I'm going to tell you the truth in the kindest and gentlest way, or the way that you actually need it, so that you can come more deeply into a relationship with me. If you just love with manipulation, guilt, and shame, then to tell you the truth, you really don't have love. You got a transaction going there. You may even call it love, but it's not love. Love is filled with spaciousness, with truth. You know, as I was realizing that this week, all of a sudden it hit me, and I don't think I fully understand what spaciousness and truth mean even as I'm speaking it to you now. But I know it to be what God wants. And so I hope that you savor what that means, spaciousness and truth in regards to love. Because what it does is it gives a person room to be who they are. It gives them the ability to say, I choose not to just be selfish, but rather to be generous. It gives us, needs a little love in that other room, I think. Here we go. I think we got it. Everything's good. Mom's to the rescue. Space and truth is just that. The space to be able to cry out. The truth to be who you are and still be picked up and loved and carried. That's the love God has for you, and that's the love that we're supposed to give away. That's the love that's supposed to be set up in the hospitality that we have, not where we manipulate and shame and guilt somebody, not where we argue and try and get them to do what we want, but rather where we just hold them with an open hand, with an open hand, because that's the way God holds on to us. As you come to the Eucharist this day, I pray that you feel the hospitality of Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist. Do you ever notice? You just come forward, and all you got to do is sort of open up your hands. And then you're given the intimacy of God in the body and blood. If that means anything to you, then that's the way you have to treat the people that are in your life. If that means anything to you, and that faith is real, then that's the way you're led. If that means anything to you, then enjoy every minute of it, because God enjoys every minute of it, offering it to you. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.